She's a former public school teacher turned stay-at-home mom. He's a talk show host who's made a career covering politics from afar. Now, Christine Stegall and her husband Chris have chosen a new path forward for their child in Christian education. Join them as they explore and experience this important alternative in education for the first time. Welcome to Making the Leap.
Every parent has the right to know what's going on with their child at school. They have a legal right under FERPA, a federal law, to have access to their child's records.
Welcome back. We're so glad you're here today with another episode of Making the Leap. We have so much today. I'm excited.
This is a big one.
It is. And it's something that is, I think, tough for people to talk about. There's so much information surrounding it. Talking about the topic today of gender ideology, and not just gender ideology, but also what is happening in schools, public school systems specifically, but what is happening in combination with what I think our society is seeing and the secrecy and the insidiousness of what is happening amongst administration, amongst parents, staff, all kind of coming together to create this environment where there is just I always struggle over the words, but I want to call it a cover up in a way. There's some,
there's something going on.
Forces working to keep it at a low level, or at this cover up, where I think if we start to kind of expose some of the things that are actually happening, we have lawsuits, we have teacher trainings, we have all kinds of things happening that I think if we start bringing it to the surface, hopefully people will start hearing about it and start investigating it for themselves. If they're not in a school that is actively working to stop this kind of rhetoric, I think it's important.
Yeah, I mean, we're asking teachers and staff members in school districts to become psychologists, as far as I'm concerned.
And liars.
And liars. I mean, no matter what you think of this issue of you can be any gender you want to be and you weren't born the gender you are, I don't really care what you think about it. It has no business being foisted on our school teachers to teach and introduce as a concept to our children. It is not the place. This is for a psychologist's office. So today we're going to talk with two different guests. Love for you to talk about Jenny, but first let me tell you about Kimberly Herman. She is an attorney out of Atlanta with the Southeastern Legal Foundation. Kimberly and the Southeastern Legal Foundation have partnered with the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, and I believe one other. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk with her about it. They're suing the Springfield, Missouri Public School District, the largest school district in the state of Missouri, because their staffs are undergoing this forced training, and some teachers and staff are leaving the school saying, I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I teach. This is not why I'm here. So they're actively suing. And it's not just, what's interesting is it's on the heels of critical race theory. So we've talked about critical race theory as a thing. This gender thing is like on a parallel track.
Right. Two big issues, I think, happening simultaneously.
And do they mix? Do they mingle? We're going to talk with Kimberly about that.
And then after that, we have coming up an interview with a woman named Jenny Gentles, who is the director of the Education Freedom Center at the Independent Women's Forum. And if you have not checked out the Independent Women's Forum, if that's something that is a long, I guess, if you're interested in figuring out what you can do about the myriad of topics that are facing our society today, I would definitely get online and check that out. They have blogs, op-eds, they have links to news interviews, they have all kinds of different
information. I personally know a lot of ladies affiliated with this group. Yes. Really impressive ladies, people like Tammy Bruce and Carrie Edwards and others.
Yes. So really strong. I actually just joined a local chapter as well.
So did you?
Yes, there's a new one out here.
Well, so even more impressive now.
Yeah, so there you go.
Now I can brag about knowing you, the co-host of Making the Leap.
But it is, as I go online, though, as I start looking and reading and thinking, it's really impressive. And Jenny herself, she has been a huge advocate for school choice for quite some time. She's worked in a variety of different positions within that realm. And I think the gender ideology issue has become much closer to her. And she's written some great pieces about that. She's been, she's appeared on different interviews across the board, Fox News, some others as well. She served as, she's actually served under President George Bush as the senior political appointee in the department, U.S. Department of Education. So she has a background that is, I hesitate to say it this way, I don't want anybody to get mad at me, but it's not just a mom, which I bristle at sometimes.
Yeah, you said that.
I did, but I said, don't get mad. She has this great background that I think she's bringing a lot to the table.
So she comes from the public policy world.
Right.
In addition to being a mom.
Who has also pulled her children out of the public school system and moved them to the private education sector as well. So I think we kind of cover all bases there. And I just laugh when I say that because I remember that very, very first the review that we had that very first time that was like, they don't have like the experts on. Well, I consider Jenny to be an expert and I consider Kimberly to be an expert.
These are experts. Now you're going to hear two very impressive ladies.
Yes.
So we'll get started with Kimberly first, Jenny to come, and then we'll get some of your reviews that you've been kind enough to submit to. Hope that you will. 5-star reviews and written reviews. Maybe even pause this podcast right now and just hammer one out and then continue to listen because you may forget and you'll go away and you go, I'll do it later. No, pause it. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the episodes and that's where you can leave a written review if you're in iTunes. 5-star review. We'll get into those in just a minute. First, our conversations. Kimberly Herman has been a guest of this show before. You've probably seen her on places like Tucker Carlson and others. She's really become a warrior on the front of public schools. And those of us who oppose really radical agendas and ideology that boards are kind of subversively sneaking in this new curriculum that, you've been called a terrorist if you oppose. She's general counsel for the Southeastern Legal Foundation. And she's back with us talking specifically about one school district, Springfield, Missouri, which is the largest public school district in the state of Missouri. Southeastern Legal Foundation has actually zeroed in specifically on the Springfield School District. And I want to talk to her about why, because it's likely a lesson in what to watch for in a school district near you. And we welcome her back. Ms. Herman, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, great to be back with you guys.
This is probably not exclusive to Springfield, Missouri. It just happens to be your focus at the moment.
That's correct. We filed a lawsuit in Springfield, Missouri last year on behalf of two educators who were required to take what the school district calls an anti-racist training. They made everyone from your bus driver to your AP U.S. history teacher take this training. And in it, what they were taught was that America should not be colorblind, right? That you should look first and foremost at somebody's skin and that is basically what creates their identity. Our clients just fundamentally disagree with that. America is a colorblind society. We should be looking at the whole person and what's inside and not the color of their skin. And so when they were forced to affirm these ideas, bring them into classrooms, when they were discriminated against because they voiced opposition, they knew that their First Amendment rights were violated and they filed a lawsuit. But this is happening all across the country. We have teachers and parents calling us from every single state in our nation.
It's strange because what we see going on simultaneously is this bizarre gender ideology, this gender dysphoria stuff, you're any gender you want to be. And by the way, let's keep it from mom and dad and gender affirming care and all these just bizarre, science fiction new terms encouraging kids to perhaps go out and seek double mastectomies and chemical castration. Really grisly stuff. And I guess what I'm trying to understand, Kimberly, is they seem to be going on. Are they on parallel tracks? Do they work at cross purposes? Do they work in tandem? What should we know about these two ideologies?
Yeah, I mean, both of these ideologies are brought into the schools in tandem, like you mentioned. So let's use Springfield, Missouri, as an example, since we're talking about that. Not only did the school district bring in an anti-racist training, but they also had gender ideology training, wow, if you can even call it that. And so, Chris Rufo reported on this just a week or two ago, but they really were bringing in this radical gender theory training, requiring teachers in various schools to take it. And they talk about exactly what you were mentioning. Kids should be able to pick their pronouns. Identity, whatever that means these days, is fluid. You can be a boy one day, a girl the next day, a furry the next day. We've got school districts here locally where I live in Georgia where there's rumors that there's kitty litter boxes being put in bathrooms because kids are demanding it. It's just bizarre. And so they're coming into the schools in tandem. It's all part of this idea to break down the family, the nuclear family, which then will ultimately lead to the destruction of America as we know it, which is what's really their goal. It sounds radical, but this is critical theory, Marxism at its basic.
Yeah, are they shared? Do you get the sense, I'm not schooled enough in it, are these shared ideologies, do they come from the same sources or disparate interests?
I mean, it all comes from the same idea that you need to pit people against each other. Right. And so from that sense, when we say it comes from Marxism or critical theory, whether you're using class, like how we would think of it in you know, socialist countries and in communism, where you're pitting the rich against the poor, here you're pitting people against each other because of skin color or because of how they identify. Right. What is their sex? And it all really does come down to, I believe, that the people pushing this, the unions, the, you know, deep state, whatever you want to refer to it as, is trying to undermine our Constitution. People refer to it as a culture war. I always say it's a constitutional war, because if you want to destroy our country as you know it and change our governmental structure, you've got to get the kids and you got to get them away from their parents first. That's, and they know that.
That's exactly right. And by the way, I've talked about this in previous shows, the critical teacher shortages all over the country. I know Missouri is one of the states, maybe the leading state with teacher shortages. Is it any wonder why, if they're being forced to participate? Normal people who are of genuine goodwill and have hearts for genuinely teaching kids, they don't want this dreck any more than the rest of us do. They're leaving.
They really don't. No, I mean, they really don't. We've talked to so many teachers across the country who have just left the profession. They come to us. They want to tell us their story. They're scared to file a lawsuit or take some sort of legal action. Maybe they just want the information out there, which is, you know, how you see so many of these stories that are out there. You see libs of TikTok. They want to get this information out there. But it's scary to take action. And instead of staying in the profession, they leave or they start alternative options. I know many teachers who have started helping homeschool pods, creating their own tutor centers. They realize there's many other ways out there that they can help these kids and educate them the right way.
Yeah, it's certainly why we took our daughter out of school and put her in a private Christian school, and why those numbers in private schools, faith-based schools, are exploding. All over the country. Just so parents are aware, people that have not made the decision to pull their kids and continue to put their kids on a bus and send them to public school, they should be on point, should they not? I mean, what should they be looking for and paying attention to? Is the school board still the critical nucleus of this discussion?
The school boards, it's critical in the sense of that parents need to be running, and we need to be getting, you know, American loving conservative parents on these boards that are actually going to be paying attention to what's happening. But they need to talk to their kids. That's the number one most important thing. Talk to your kids about what's happening. When they say, "How was your day?" and they say, "Fine," that is not an acceptable answer. You need to know what's happening in these schools. Get into the schools, get in the classrooms and volunteer so that you have a firsthand look. Our kids, I've got a 5 and 8 year old. We've talked about this before. We've got them in a small private Christian school also. We live in an extremely red conservative area in Georgia. We cannot send them to these public schools.
Wow.
It's here. It's here. It's in the heartland of America. It's in the heartland of Missouri. It's here in, you know, conservative Milton, Georgia.
It's stunning. So anyone who lives in kind of this fictitious mindset that it's not here, our schools are great, our community's great, it may well be. And you may have a lot of great, I mean, there are genuinely great men and women who teach. I don't question, you know, the sincerity of a lot of people who teach, but they may not have a whole hell of a lot to say about it, quite frankly. They may well have to just do it and subject kids to it, whether they want to or not, to keep their jobs. True?
That's very true. And a lot of times they don't realize it's coming in either, right? Or it's being brought in by kids who are out on the internet, right? That's another really big piece, critical piece that I don't think is talked about a lot. What are these kids seeing on the internet, right? I don't believe that our local high school is teaching these kids that they should be dressing or identifying as animals, as cats, or I just saw another one online as a wolf. They have animal dysphoria, I think is what it's called now.
Friend of mine was picking up his high school daughters the other day. We just had lunch yesterday. He said he was picking up his high school daughters, and a kid walked out of the high school in a full onesie unicorn outfit. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Unicorn. Yep,
that, yeah. It's insane, right? Never in a million years, right? Like that's what you would wear. You're dressing up on Halloween or it's Spirit Day for homecoming week, right? Back in the 80s and 90s when we would dress up for spirit days and stuff. But this is happening on an everyday basis now. And it's not necessarily the teachers always bringing it into the school. It's not administration, but these kids are seeing it out there and it's at their fingertips. It's on their phone. It's on their devices.
And by the way, a lot of these teachers are told accommodate it. Don't push back. Don't scold it. Don't call it out. Accommodate it. Right.
Correct. Yeah. And if you do, you risk losing your job. We have the federal government telling them that they're going to have to do this. Right. We do a lot of work on Title IX. Which was originally created to protect women's sports. And now the federal government is changing the definition of sex to include sexual stereotypes, which means anything. So if you believe that you are a unicorn, well, you know what? If the school tells you you're not, then you can sue the school. I mean, it's backwards. Man. It's completely backwards.
Kimberly Herman, Southeastern Legal Foundation, how much legal help do you get from attorneys general? I know people like Eric Schmidt in Missouri, for instance, the state that are kind of our jumping off point here. He's one. How many attorneys general across the country are engaged in this with their schools and their states?
Yeah, so there's a good number of attorneys generals that are working on this issue. Todd Rakita, who is in Illinois, is another, one who's really out there on this issue. I wish we saw more action from our state attorneys generals across the country. They have tremendous power and they need to be using it. For example, like you said, in Missouri, we have some clients in Webster Grove who wanted to stop their schools from asking their kids invasive questions, things that they legally cannot ask kids about without parental consent, sexual activity, sexual behavior, mental health, things like that. Well, we did some research and it turns out Eric Schmidt has the power to investigate these federal law violations. So we sent a letter to him making him aware of that. And, to his credit, he took action. He launched an investigation and he's doing something about it. I wish that we would see more state attorneys generals doing that. I can tell you we're working on letters in every state where an attorney general has that power. We're sending them letters like this.
Great work. Great work. Continued great work. Thank you for making parents alert and aware. I mean, as you said, the best thing you can do is stay involved, be involved, be a menace. And you are treated as a menace, by the way. You're treated as a sort of an annoyance, a gnat, a fly, get out of here. I mean, we've been called terrorists by the federal government for showing up at school board meetings. But now more than ever, I mean, you can't be shooed and shunned and treated like some jerk because you want to be involved in your kids' educations and see what's going on. There are a lot of people that would like to keep that from you. You should resist that as a parent.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more. And it's really just about us on the ground. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kimberly Herman, General Counsel, Southeastern Legal Foundation. Appreciate your time today and your work.
Thank you.
We are here today with Jenny Gentles. Definitely looking forward to this interview for quite some time now. She is the director of the Education Freedom Center at the Independent Women's Forum.
Love the Independent Women's Forum. Love it. Love it. Our friend Tammy Bruce is a part of that organization. Carrie Edwards, a lot of great, great people a part of that organization. So, she's the gold standard before we even talk to her.
Well, I told you, I was massively impressed at looking at the bio, looking at the op-ed. You've written so many different op-eds and appeared so many different times within like Fox and some other networks that I was really excited to have you on just to share. I think our audience really can benefit just from the wealth of knowledge that I think you have, but just the organizations that you've been part of over the years.
Welcome to the show, Jenny.
We're super happy to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. I've been really excited about this podcast and the mission and what you're doing. And I thought I was joining to tell you about my decision to pull my kids out of my local public schools and put them in private schools. But let's talk about both.
Yeah. Well, right? One sort of begets the other, doesn't it? I mean, it really is sort of the point. You've written a piece here not too long ago in the Washington Examiner headline, "School Choice Can Save Children from Radical Gender Ideology." Earlier in this show, we spoke with an attorney, Jenny, Kimberly Herman, who you may know from the Southeastern Legal Foundation. She's actively suing a school district in Missouri, Springfield, over this very same curriculum. But what's bizarre, it's not just curriculum, it's mandatory teacher and staff training before they ever get to the kids. I mean, that's something I wasn't even really aware of. I thought curriculum's one thing, but to indoctrinate your staff before the kids ever show up is quite another.
Right.
Well, parents are waking up to this issue, but unfortunately, the activists have been very busy pretty much since 2015, putting a pipeline in place that, yes, includes the teacher training and then the curriculum. They've also captured the publishing industry. So the books, including colorful board books and graphic novels, all have this ideology infused in it. And then they've also been successful at getting district and state policy in place that ensures that when a child has gone through this system of indoctrination and has decided and been pressured to choose a new gender identity, choose a new name, reject the name that their parents lovingly gave them, and go by different pronouns, that the school is swiftly going to put a gender support plan in place. And if the child says, I don't want my parents to know about all of this, then it's a secret. And that's in policy.
I cannot
everywhere.
Get over that. That is probably one of the things that blows my mind the most when we talk about this issue. I never want to step on the toes of families that are dealing with issues that stem from who knows where. I don't know what that is personally in my own family. We have friends, you know, dealing with some of these issues as well, but I never want to step on their toes. But what I don't want to do is make that the norm for every child across the board when there's not an issue that is there, that they create these issues, I think, sometimes when they put these trainings and policies into place.
You know what irks me is the entire concept of telling a prepubescent or adolescent kid who's already deeply confused and emotional and awkward, because who's not, telling them there's a reason for it and it could possibly be that God made you incorrectly. That's a psychological assault on a human being, in my estimation. I mean, we're talking about a psychology here at this point. This has nothing to do with the physical, in my view, Jenny.
Right. They're telling these kids, they're preaching to these kids, if we're honest, that children are born in the wrong body, that doctors assign gender at birth, and sometimes they get it wrong. And that as responsible citizens, as respectful and kind and inclusive people, we must break the binary and reject biological reality. There is no real set male and female. And they're pressuring kids to choose where they fit along the spectrum. You all might have seen the graphic that has G.I. Joe on one end as male, and a Barbie on the other end as female. And then they pressure the kids to figure out where do they fit along this continuum, along this spectrum, which shows that all of this is steeped and based on regressive stereotypes about men and women, about biological sex. No one's a Barbie. No one's a G.I. Joe.
Right.
We're all gender fluid and non-binary when you get down to it. But why the labels and why the pressure? And why don't you just ease up on kids? They've had a hard enough time as it is with school closures. And here the schools slowly, reluctantly open back up. And this is what's thrown at these kids who've been in their room, isolated on devices, going down these social media rabbit holes with these influencers preaching this stuff to them. And now they show back up in classrooms and the teachers are preaching this.
Yeah, if I could just read some of the training. This is in the Springfield Public School System in Springfield, Missouri, which we were just talking again with Kimberly Herron about a little earlier. Here's some of the language, the presentation to the staff and teachers. This is not students, but what teachers are forced to sit through and why some of them have actually sued the district. Administrators claim people are given, quote, biological sex assigned at birth, which often conflicts with their gender identity and gender expression. Teachers are asked to recognize and affirm identities such as, boy, I mean, once upon a time you probably went into teaching to, you know, teach. And now you have to affirm gender identity and gender expression, recognize and affirm those identities, like drag queen, pansexual, polyamorous, described as having ethical, honest, and consensual non-monogamous relationships. Teachers are expected to use preferred gender pronouns with their students. As part of the presentation, administrators shared a video featuring gender queer and non-binary children, and it was a program called Why Gender Pronouns Matter, claiming gender is a universe worse. Some children don't have a gender, and that misgendering a trans person is an act of violence. My identity, although you can't see it, still needs to be validated, says one of the non-binary children. My identity, although you can't see it, needs to be validated. And again, we wonder, why is there a shortage of teachers, Jenny?
Oh, that's such a great point. I was going to mention that a dear friend of mine just went through a mid-career training program here in the state of Virginia, where I live, and she absolutely will not be going to the public school. And she said that another person in her program who had been a military officer and wanted to get his license to be a teacher and then enter the classroom to teach STEM subjects, he refuses to go to the public school system here in Virginia because of the deceit. He said he couldn't handle lying to parents, and that's what teachers are being told to do. Losing these wonderful teachers. These kids are missing out on having these wonderful teachers because they can't agree to this bizarre system that only treats gender this way, right? We don't do this with other issues. If your daughter, and let's be honest, a lot of this is happening when a girl, emotionally sensitive girl, hits puberty,
right,
and it's just flooded and overwhelmed by the horror that is puberty.
And statistically, it is the girls,
it is girls more
that
than
are doing this right at a much more aggressive rate. Yes.
They are, yeah, and so they don't have these supports in place that they do when a child hits a similar age and starts getting disordered thinking about eating. So mm-hmm. she decides, I have to lose 10 pounds. And she decides, I am overweight. I have to stop eating. I have to skip lunch. Well, in that scenario, at least historically, the school guidance counselor would not validate or affirm that anorexic identity.
Right.
They would work with the parents to make sure that that child was eating lunch. The child might even eat lunch in the guidance office, and the guidance counselor would let the parent know, in partnership with the parent, yes, your daughter ate lunch today. So that partnership is gone. Suddenly, when there's this obsession with gender identity, which, you know, is similar to a disorder thinking about eating. They're uncomfortable with their body. They're rejecting it. Mm-hmm. Then the guidance counselor, the teachers, the school staff are all working against the parents and making an assumption that if they reveal this to the parents will abuse the child. The child will become homeless. This is the talking point out there that the activists have used to get all these policies in place. Why would we assume that? Why would we assume that we're a nation full of abusive parents
who don't
want to support children who are wrestling with tough stuff in a tough culture?
Well, and this is the thing, Christine, you taught for years. What was the traditional thinking about kids that came from troubled homes? I think teachers once upon a time probably aired on the other side, where you were almost coached to, hey, not our business, not our thing. We're not going to. I mean, I suppose if you saw signs of abuse, you were supposed to get involved.
We had to report.
Yeah, mandatory reporting.
But now it's like the opposite. Now it's like all of a sudden the parents, the enemy in the home is the enemy. That's a weird new paternalistic thing.
Well, and to make that assumption, that the parents will be awful and horrible and won't come alongside their children to help them or, you know, get them the help that they need or team up with the school itself. Just, you know, I'd hope that there's teachers, the majority of teachers wouldn't want to keep that secret. They wouldn't want to be in that position to say, yes, I'm going to come into this really hard experience that you're having. I'm not related to you. I'm not your parent, but I'm going to come into this and I'm going to help you hide it and support it in such a way that stems from evil. I don't abide by, like, I can't abide that. That's not acceptable to me. And so if I do come across a teacher who seems to think that's okay, that's where I'd be speaking up.
Well, look, Jenny, let's talk about it from a psychological point of view. Any other point of view, psychologically, you talk about eating disorders, or cutting some yourself, or anything psychological. Why should a teacher be expected?
Well, that too.
To counsel that. Right. They're not trained therapists. Right. You send children for psychological counseling. You don't ask the math teacher to provide a safe place to counsel it, for heaven's sakes. Right. That's asking
safe
way
place,
too much.
That's definitely a word that they like to use. And I think we need to be really careful around the language. They use terms like respectful. We need to be respectful of the child's pronouns. Okay, well, how about respecting the parents' obligation and responsibility for the raising their children?
Yeah.
And we need to create a safe space. Well, how about don't push a child to select an identity that's likely going to put them down this path of medical transition? We've been talking so far about social transition and secretive social transitions.
Oh, the medical.
When those children get obsessed with these identities, even if it's non-binary, you know, a girl saying that she's male or a girl saying that she's non-binary, they also get obsessed with modifying their bodies, mutilating their bodies. And that includes cutting the healthy breasts off of young children. And I can't believe that this is something that I'm talking about now in podcasts and interviews, but we have to address this. These girls get obsessed with these identities, and the world, the internet, their school, their quote unquote safe schools are telling them they have to cut off their breasts. And then they go on puberty blockers and they go on cross-sex hormones, and that sterilizes them. And they lose the ability to be a mother in the future. They lose the ability to feed their babies in the future. And certainly no child was born into this world to have that be their fate, that at such a young age, all of those options are cut off to them and they become a lifelong medical patient. So when these math teachers are creating quote unquote safe spaces, no, they're not. They're doing the opposite.
What
unsafe isn't even a strong enough word for what they're doing.
I agree.
Here's the question, the $5,000 question that I always like to ask is the why. I can't, there's not a demarcation point in history that I can point to personally, because we've talked about this a lot on the show. Christine's a public school teacher of many years. I went through public school. Our kids came up through public school until the last couple of years. I can't point to the moment. To me, it feels like all of the sudden things went off the rails loony. I know it wasn't all the sudden, but when did it happen and why is it happening? Jenny, have you thought much about that, or do you have data to suggest you know for sure?
Well, I think I have a sense of when this gender stuff went off the rails. I think all of us are just waking up to it over the last year.
Sure.
And the Boston Children's Hospital videos that show what happened with quote-unquote gender-affirming care have woken up a lot of people. Matt Walsh's What is a Woman? Have woken up a lot of people. But there are a few brave souls who've been fighting this since 2015. I'm going to approximately put it around there. And kind of what happened, maybe, you know, this isn't the right forum to go into this too much, but basically when gay marriage became legal across the land, that led to the possibility of groups like Human Rights Campaigns and other activists like that losing funding because gay marriage was legal. What else are they going to fight for? And that's when the trans queer movement and activists overtook those organizations, and then that became the priority. Because let's be clear, we're not talking about like gay children here.
Right.
We're talking about something very, very different.
In fact, to be completely transparent about it, a lot of gay folks that you talk to about this issue, including some I know, reject this out of hand.
Yes.
And we're seeing more and more of that. And that's where we have to be careful when activists are trying to equate it to, well, remember when gay kids got kicked out of their home when it was revealed that they were gay? Honestly, I don't remember. I feel like I'm not a young woman, but I think that must have happened a really, really long time ago. That's certainly not what we're talking about. No parent is going to kick their 12-year-old child out because she's confused and caught up in this social contagion. But every parent has the right to know what's going on with their child at school. They have a legal right under FERPA, a federal law, to have access to their child's records. And obviously they have a common sense right to know what's happening. And they need to know, because a lot of times these things go along with a child having a lot of emotional challenges. And that parent needs to be fully informed so that they can ensure that that child's receiving the support that they need. So in stark contrast to all of this, I wanted to read something that my daughter's high school put in their parent-student handbook. And it says, parents must be acknowledged as the first and foremost educators of their children. Mm. Parents have the primary responsibility for the health and well-being of their children. Mm. That's what
it should be. Yes.
Right?
What's so strange is that seems so obvious, and we now have to document it. You know, we have to stipulate. Well,
and this was a private school. So let's be clear. It's a private school making it clear. Hey, we've got our priorities straight.
But I do think there have to be schools.
But that's the thing. You have to. That has to be a mission statement, because as we've learned in this conversation about even private and Christian school, you can't be sure unless they state it. This is our deal. This is what we're about. And don't worry, we're not going to stray from the mission. You have to. I mean,
well, even like our statement of faith that we signed this year for our daughter, for her school, the one that we switched out.
Yep.
I was kind of laughing, telling Chris, I said, well, you know, the woman that handed it to me was like, well, we have to keep changing it, and we have to keep adding to make it very crystal clear. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe. And it basically tries to eliminate any of that gray space that exists.
Kind also
of
like not this and also not this.
Right. And I mean, yes,
as progressive ideology continues to tack it on, you got to keep amending. We're not for that either, or that either. Gosh, or that either.
It's just so much
lunatic stuff, Jenny.
But how long have your kids now been? You have two daughters. Is that correct? If I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
And when did you move them from the public sector to the private sector?
Well, and I apologize for the any background noise. I am heading to a meeting, but I actually pulled them out of the public school in the midst of COVID school closures. Okay. I live in Arlington, Virginia, and Arlington was very excited about closing schools and keeping schools closed.
Yes.
And so I pulled them out, and they were enrolled in the state-funded virtual program. And so we had access to great curriculum and materials through that for one school year. And then I very happily enrolled them in a faith-based private school last year. So they've been back. They started out in a faith-based private school. We switched to the public, and we're very happy to have made the leap and be back in faith-based private schools at this point.
Well, we thank you for sharing the story. This piece is in the Washington Examiner from mid-last month, August, that is. School choice can save children from radical gender ideology. Jenny Gentles is the Independent Women's Forum Director of Educational Freedom. And we really thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for this conversation. I've really appreciated it, too.
Thank you.
Good stuff, as promised.
Yeah. And so much to take in. I mean, there's no way to squeeze that into a 15 to 20 minute
busy lady
segment. Yes. And I'm looking forward to having her back. I think she's definitely somebody that can shed a lot of light on topics that we are focused on.
But can you believe I cannot stress to you, it's one thing that the kids are being exposed to it. I can't believe, as professionals, we're not hearing nearly enough about it. We're hearing more. These people that have devoted their lives to educating children are now being forced to sit through this garbage?
I think I'm less concerned with the people that buy into it and more concerned with the people that don't. The ones that don't think this is okay. Where are you?
They're leaving.
They're leaving, or in my other thing that I think is, they're close to leaving and they know what's like. I looked up what I would be making right now if I had stayed.
Yeah.
And that salary would be very, very hard to walk away. And I know it's not, or walk away from. And I know it's not about money, but when you're 7 years away or 6 years away, what do you do? And so, but we're talking about lying to parents and creating an environment that is not what you entered in 20 plus years ago. It's just not. So
it's wrong. And it's the only people that are going to newly enter it are just wacko activists and extremists, not people that actually want to teach. They're ideologues who happen to know maybe how to teach.
And that's what it'll be filled with. Yeah. It's awful. Yes.
That's why Christian education is so critical important. That's why we do this show, by the way. And thank you for your reviews. It occurs to me that maybe we ought to add Anna as another host. Because of all the shows we've done and all the impressive people we've brought in, it's our daughter that's been getting the most comment.
Well, it's funny. I laughed when I saw this one. This is from Buffy RS, and she says, Anna is amazing. I always find your shows to be exactly what I'm thinking about, and you have the best way of sharing what I'm thinking. But Anna really nailed it. Ah. She did a great job. I hope she comes back.
Yeah.
And maybe she does.
She
I don't
seems
know.
To we enjoy could be
it. The broadcast family or something.
I don't know. She liked it.
She liked it. And it was tough to do. And we didn't prep her for any of that. And I know she was worried about doing what I do, kind of getting choked up on words sometimes. But I really think she spoke from the heart, and that's what we're after right now is protecting these kids' hearts. And she spoke from her own and had some great things to share.
And her school and her class in particular is growing because you're seeing it. In fact, we're seeing kids now. If I may, I think we're seeing kids whose parents are taking them from school, whether they want to leave school or not.
Yes. And that's,
and which is its own interesting thing. And perhaps we're going to have to do a show on this.
Yes.
The number of kids that are being pulled out of secular or public school and being placed into faith-based schools against their will.
That's an acclimation. It's an acclimation issue. That's a tough thing. And it is something that I think we need to be watching, because
I don't want to start conforming.
No.
You don't want a bunch of outside influence coming in and telling them.
You don't want a public school with a private school label.
That's right.
You have to be careful.
This is the protecting the integrity of these private institutions as they grow is critical. It's that balance. You've got to, you want it to grow, but you don't want it to conform and become the thing that you were trying to avoid.
Well, and as we were, just talking about all the gender issues, the CRT, the things that are out there, it has to be at this point. I think if you're moving, it's not about masks anymore. It's not about COVID. It's not about a vaccine. It really isn't. It's encircling a huge amount of issues, and this, which is why repeatedly I throw this out on Facebook all the time. Know what matters to you. Know what you want to give up. Know what you want to get. Know your priorities. Figure it out, because it's not that anymore. But if you're putting your kids in a school where all of a sudden that climate has completely changed, you have to know what you're getting into, and parents that are already there have to know what's coming.
And know your teachers. Know your teachers want to teach, and know that they reject being asked to teach anything but what they're there to teach. Yes. Teachers have to reject this notion that they are pseudo parents. Any school that's worth their salt will say, "We'll teach them, but you've got to parent them."
Absolutely.
And
well, it's that kingdom approach. Church, church, family, school together. It has to be those three.
So keep your reviews coming. Next week we're going to talk about specifically dads. And dad's roles.
And I'm so glad.
I've been
so
asked about. I was asked about this, and they did a nice profile right up at the Lion about this show. And one of the things was, what's dad's role? And I said, if I had to be completely honest with you, mothers really have sort of driven this conversation. So next week we're going to maybe try to change that conversation and talk about dads and dad's role in helping kids make the leap. So until next week.
Making the Leap is a podcast presentation courtesy of the Herzog Foundation. Please rate and comment on the show, as well as subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on Making the Leap.